Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. The person that I listen to the most about what's going on geopolitically from both a philosophical and a factual point of view is back with me today. And I'm excited to have Alex Craner back on the show. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Thank you for having me, Mel. Always a pleasure.
Well, I know that one of your big things that you've always done, especially when you were in the financial markets or in geopolitics or whatever, is you look at trends. And you have your Trends Compass website and Substack that I follow closely. And I'm wondering what you see in the trends at the moment geopolitically in terms of, you know, where we are in this great reset versus, you know, freedom.
Well, I think we're completely in uncharted waters. So it's very, very difficult to predict where things go and how events unfold. But, you know, I always like to remind listeners and viewers that it's important to keep the context in mind, because we are being, you know, like we're in the blizzard of events and developments. It's very hard to keep up with what's going on, because the attacks are coming from all sides. And it can be very disorientating. And I think the broadest possible context within which to try to kind of work out what's going on is, as they tell us, that is the conflict between two systems of governance.
Right.
And so we have Western imperialistic colonialist oligarchical system of governance that we in our liberal democracies get to enjoy. And I think then you have the whole rest of humanity, which they like to label as autocracies, tyrannies, you know, despotisms and so forth. But if you look things closely, not, you know, the way they tell us things should be, but the way things are, you find that life in these so-called tyrannies and despotisms is actually not so bad. And that the side that's always at war and that's always fomenting wars is actually our side.
Yeah, it's so, just, yeah, go ahead.
No, so I think that in light of this,
yep.
the way in which we are in uncharted territories is, I think that this system, after at least 500 years of uninterrupted dominance, has come to the end of the road, and it's kind of imploding on itself, but it's in its... how do you call it? It's in its dying agony.
Yeah.
And so now it's flapping, it's flailing on all sides, and it's causing a whole lot of damage. But I think that after this bumpy ride is over, maybe we're going to get a clean slate to build a better future.
Yeah, that's exactly where I am sitting right now as well. And, you know, here in America, watching America from Europe, where you are, must be just a complete shock to the system. Today, you know, we're into the most ludicrous of all the Trump persecutions now. It's a complete joke. And the rest of the world, if you look around and you follow what's going on, is kind of looking at America thinking, why don't the American people like notice what's happening? We just had this big vote. They're waving the Ukraine flag on the floor of the House. You know, if you weren't for it, you're an isolationist and all of this stuff, and or a Putin, you know, acolyte or whatever. And nobody's really looking at who benefits here. And I keep saying America is captured, in my estimation, by what I call the public-private partnership parent company above our government and everything else. I think that the Intel blob works for them. The lawfare blob works for them. They've captured the whole middle, and they actually work for the next level, as you call the international banking cartel. And they're all trying to keep it going while we fight amongst ourselves and don't really look at, we actually have the same enemy if we weren't all pointing at each other. And, you know, it just seems to be going down this path where they're not even hiding it, yet people still refuse to even say, you know, maybe there's something more at play here. And maybe that old idea that it's a conspiracy theory, that there's a global public-private partnership that is working in tandem throughout the world to create order out of chaos so that we give up everything to their desired outcome is actually real. And I don't see how people don't see this now.
Well, you know, obviously, at this point, it takes a really, really high degree of willful blindness not to notice. But, you know, on the other hand, these structures of powers have, you know, perfected the means and methods of propaganda to disorient the people, to confuse them, to misdirect their grievances. So, you know, we keep hearing about... You know, when as soon as they don't like something, it's these extreme right people, right. These extreme left extremists, the Chinese, the Russians, the Muslims, the Jews, the, you know, whoever. And they keep, you know, stirring the pot, turning everybody against everybody. But and then, you know, most worrisome of all, as the oligarchies have done for thousands of years now, when, you know, social pressures are on the verge of boiling over, they like to send everybody to war.
Right.
So, you know, in Europe, it's very obvious that they are now ramping up the rhetoric that, oh my God, we're going to lose the war in Ukraine. We, meaning, you know, I have nothing to do with it. You know, right. It's not my war.
Right.
But we, you know, and then, you know, after we lose in Ukraine, then the Russians are going to come for us, you know. They're going to invade Poland and the Baltics and Germany and France and Italy and everywhere. And so we obviously have to allocate hundreds of billions of dollars that we don't have into ramping up the military production, you know, the defense industry. And then we have to, you know, instill a new, how do you call it, the conscriptions and beef up the army, right, and prepare for war. And then, you know, we are going to find a context when we need one. And then, you know, all this discontent, all these grievances that we have, well, we're going to blame everything on the Russians. And then we're going to go man the trenches and have yet another world war on the old continent that's going to decimate the population. And then after a few years, after everybody's been thoroughly war fatigued and demoralized and exhausted or killed, then we're going to have a renewal and a how do you call it? The same old banking oligarchy is going to lend us money for reconstruction and development. And then we're going to be paying attention to other things and we're going to forget what was in the past. And so, you know, so that's what they count on doing.
Yeah.
The United States, not so much Russia, but China.
Right.
You know, and you can see the rhetoric ramping up, like China is behind everything bad.
Right.
You know,
right.
Everything bad is China. And so, you know, China is behind fentanyl crisis, behind migrations, behind everything. So, you know, in this same way, the American people are being kind of like corralled toward into a confrontation across the Pacific. So I think we have to be extremely careful about that, because, you know, if we learned something over the last 10 years, is that this can happen to us. It happened to the Ukrainians. They didn't want to go to war. You know, they were overwhelmingly in favor of peace, of normalization. But in the end, they got a completely devastated country and up to 500,000 young Ukrainian men killed. And, you know, if it could happen to the Ukrainians, it can happen to us. And I think it's about time we start pushing back, because next thing, it could be our kids in those like graves as far as the eye can see under the, you know, under Ukrainian flags. But, you know, in our cases, it might be French, Croatian, Polish flags, US flags, and so forth.
Yeah, I think the American people really have to be very honest about what is going on here. And there, and you know, it's so sick. There is a, and I believe it's intelligence television, not real television or media. When you look at everything, all the money and the returning around of the Smith-Mundt Act, not that they weren't already doing this stuff, not that the warrantless 702 was not already happening on a grand scale way beyond. It's just they kind of throw things at you to be like, look, listen, we're doing this, but now we're going to put it in the writing that we're doing it so that you know that, as if they weren't already doing it on a massive scale all the time. And you know what you do also when you talk about the history, and you and I both follow the money, you coined it the international banking cartel, and I've since picked up that language from you, because that is exactly what it is. But if you look at World War One, they had World War One, and then the same oligarch billionaire group, the parent company of planet Earth, decided to try to do the League of Nations, and that didn't work. And then they had World War II, and here comes the UN, And everything that they promised of the UN has not worked out because it's been the exact opposite of what it was promised. There's been no peace. There's been no lack of famine or poverty. There's been no development in the billions of dollars we put into developing nations, and more debt and billions of dollars just go through there and all their tentacles at the UN. And I believe World War III, the outcome for them will be, and you know, a kind of a UN 2.0, Agenda 2030, this whole model with the technocracy and the technology and the track and trace surveillance. We've said before on the show with you, they don't really have the technology ready at this point. But I do know that a lot of the leaders around the world, including O'Biden, is on our own website, the whitehouse.org or .gov. They have full-on things about globalist plans going forward, not just the commitment to Agenda 2030 global goals that the Biden White House put out in September of 2023, but just this month they put out a global health plan for that sounds exactly like the World Health Organization plan, except for that the United States is paying for it all and running it. So, you know, and then if you keep going and you look at the infrastructure bill and you look at all this stuff, you think, oh, wait, Obama signed on to Agenda 2030 in 2015, and now they're almost there. And what does that even entail? And my thing to the people is, this isn't about Donald Trump or Joe Biden. This is about ideology. It's what do you want for this nation? Do you want borders, language, culture, constitution, bill of rights, God willing, some transparency and accountability, the justice system back on track for the people? Or do you want to be a cog in a globalist wheel in some kind of a Hunger Games world where the parent companies in Pan Am and all the rest of us are in wards somewhere on a track and trace surveillance technocratic nightmare? So to me, I just the conversation about Trump, Biden, first of all, they both only served 4 years. But to me, Trump is at least sand in the gears towards this dystopian technocracy. So I just, that's all I see when I look at 2024. When people ask me, I say, yeah, Trump tried to dismantle the World Health Organization, UNESCO, the pact with the Paris Climate Accords, all the banking class, the international banking cartel hate him because he cost them a lot of money, you know? And so I still look at it on that level. What do you think about all this posturing about 2024 election when it's just, it has nothing to do with good old elections? It's literally about the future, not just for America. I keep saying they're not after America, they're after the world, and they need America to be a part of it. And if America's not, it's not going to work. So that's what I see.
Yes, that's, I think you got it exactly right. It's not about America. It's about keeping America in the globalist camp, because, you know, the mothership, the mortar is still the City of London. Right. And, you know, the City of London is the philosophical, spiritual headquarters of the undead British Empire that is still running the show. But this empire is nothing without the United States, because if the United States were not on board, then you would have Great Britain, Canada, parts of Western Europe, very fractious parts of Western Europe. You would have Australia, New Zealand, and maybe Japan, and maybe Singapore. So basically, not a single world power, and very geographically dispersed. So the empire would just simply implode on itself. The only superpower in this equation is the United States. So for them, it is essential to keep the United States on board. And you can see this in the writings of the Chatham House, in, you know, the formerly Royal Society for whatever, international affairs or something like that. It's the, you know, the British parent of the how do you call it, the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes,
right. Exactly.
Right.
And you can see that they are absolutely panicked at the prospect of Donald Trump, yes, becoming the U.S. president. And they don't care about the United States. You know, they just need the United States to remain the, you know, like that Master Blaster relationship from, yeah, Mad,
exactly,
Max 3.
Yes.
You know, they need the United States to remain the global cop, the blaster that will just do, the empire's bidding and enforce the empire's roles and punish the non-compliers around the world. But you know, whether the American people have a good life or not good life, if the American economy is well or not, if the judicial system works or not, they couldn't care less.
Right.
That's I think what the election is about. But the level of panic that they display about the prospect of Donald Trump coming back to the White House tells me that the stakes are real. And again, you know, like it's about defeating this system of governance. And once, which is an enemy, not just to Russia and China, it's an enemy to the British people, to the American people. It's the enemy of humanity, period. So I think that anything that can slow them down, that can grind them to a halt, that can seed friction into the system, anything is welcome and, you know, should be supported, including Donald Trump, who, you know, like I'm not a particular fan of Donald Trump, but they obviously hate him, you know, so better him than Genocide Joe.
Yeah. And what they're talking about, honestly, we're talking about 4 years. And from, you know, my vantage point, and I've been lucky enough to know some of the actual good guys that are still out there that haven't been, you know, lawfared into submission or blackmailed or bribed to be quiet and walk away, which is many, many of the people. But there is also a situation here, which includes the UK, because what happened in 2015, 2016 into Crossfire Hurricane, into actually treason and sedition and spying on a sitting president, collusion, all of that was a joint UK-US operation with the help of the outerlying Five Eyes groups. And there is a group of people, this lawfare group through Brookings and others, and that is a lot of British people as well. That's where they got Steele. We had Halper. We had Australia in there. We had all these different players. But all of them united in the idea that populism, nationalism, everything in America that had to do with America had to be destroyed. And they had their willing player, Barack Obama and Eric Holder. And again, the Trilateral Commission, that basically is their entire foreign policy group. And all of these people that really believe in this, this is why I can only explain to the layman that it looks very much in my mind, what they think of is like the Hunger Games, like Pan Am is where they are. And then And you know, you and I both know Kissinger actually wrote about this whole that way would be easier. And I think the other thing that we have to remember is that a lot of this is about natural resources. It's about the things that make life function on planet Earth. And they've been since, and you wrote about this extensively, but they've been since the controlled demolition of the banking system, which I no longer believe anything they told us about 2008, 2006. I think that was the beginning of the one world central bank digital currency consolidation. But on top of that, we have the whole started in Rio forward global warming, global war, global financial crisis to set us up for this idea that, what do they say in Agenda 2030? No more nation states. Global problems have global solutions. And at this point, I don't understand. I don't think they have the ability to pull it off anyway, but I think that they are really pushing on all fronts to keep us in this idea that we, that there's a boogeyman out there above everyone, above everything, that we should all just have submission and like I always say, order out of chaos. I think they just want us to surrender. And a lot of people are being demoralized and dehumanized. And that's my fear, is that people are, it's working on a mass amount of people, at least in America.
Yes, I would agree with you entirely. They are trying to demoralize us. And I think that this is because the only way for us to fail in our quest for, you know, peace and emancipation and a better life in the future is if we surrender. And how would we surrender? Well, if they manage to convince you that all resistance is futile. So they keep throwing at us all these, you know, oh, AI is coming and CBDCs are coming and you know, the control grid for your vaccine booster status and
right.
All of these things. You know, they're announcing them, they're writing all these policy papers and these presentations that you hear in at the Davos and that you find on their websites. But you know, if you look at, first of all, I think that CBDCs ain't never going to happen in a million years. It's a far, far, far too ambitious a project. Even if they eliminated most of us and they left only 500 people living on Earth, you know, with their permission, They still couldn't pull off the CBDC because it's far too complex a problem. You know, it's as a concept, it's conceivably possible. You know, we have technology to make it run on some limited test case.
Right.
You know, it's let's say that all the Legos are there. It could be put together. But to actually make a design a workable CBDC model, because remember, they want to make the currency programmable, issued by a single central bank for the whole world.
Right.
It's far too complex. And then if you look at their incredible string of failures, we should all be very encouraged, because pretty much everything they put their hands on, they mess up.
Right.
Remember, it was barely 24 years ago that they had this grand proclamation about the new American century, you know, and that was supposed to be, you know, smack in the middle of the America's unipolar moment. Right. You know, they had this grandiose manifesto about full spectrum dominance and this and that and blah, 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 no rivals, no nothing. And where are they now? You know, look at where they are now. Where is this full spectrum dominance? You know, they failed in Iraq. They failed in Afghanistan. They failed in Syria. They are failing in Ukraine. They're on the verge of collapse there. They're failing in the Middle East. Their pandemic, that was a big gambit there.
Yeah.
That failed. You know, we were supposed to be living in the new normal. The old normal was supposed to be history for good. It didn't. So practically everything, every big project that they launched fell. And then the same thing happens with CBDC, because, you know, I've been saying about CBDC that it's never going to happen for pretty much since the first time I heard of CBDCs. And the reason why I say this is because I have a certain experience with managing complex software projects, and, you know, to wrap my mind about what CBDC entails, it's like no way in hell. But at the beginning of 2022, they actually launched a pilot program in Nigeria, and that program was supposed to be, you know, the big showcase for, you know, it was meant to be showcased as a success. Oh, look how Nigeria stepped into the 21st century. Now they have this CBDC and everybody's happy and everything is awesome. The whole project, in spite of very carefully selected jurisdiction, in spite of all the know-how that was supplied there by the WEF, by the IMF and other agencies, carefully selected this hyper-thread architecture, the whole thing collapsed in 108 days. The president of the country immediately lost the elections, and the central bank governor who was in charge of the project ended up in prison. Now, you know, find the next set of volunteers to try that again. It's not happening.
Yeah. And a lot of people would say on top of that, that they absolutely do not even have the technology. They can all talk about it in their stakeholders meetings in Davos, but it's not ready for prime time. And that's why I think you hear them, even the guy that enormous man that runs the BIS and the guy from the World Bank lately, they've been
Augustine Carstens, yes.
Oh yeah, yeah, that enormous guy. He looks like Jabba the Hutt, which is funny because it does remind me of the character in that movie, the second Star Wars. But I have to tell you that lately you're hearing a lot of them talk about that it's not going fast enough. I think what's not going fast enough is their side, their technology, their ability to pull it off. And then a lot of these things, when they put them into action, just like what we're seeing with the electric vehicles and all of the clean energy and all of that, it's really, it looks good on paper and when they model it out at the Imperial College, but when they go to put it into action time and time again, it's just a boondoggle that wastes billions of dollars. Obviously they don't care about that. But I mean, that's where we are at this point. And I just look at it and I say, also, they don't have the energy to pull it off. Like, it's just, there's so many levels of it that seem insane at this point. And you know, here they're talking about, well, it's not going to be the central banks, it's going to be the commercial banks, but all the commercial banks are having problems way beyond to be able to like launch something that they have to force people onto. I think the biggest problem is that a lot of people don't understand the vast amounts of resources that have gone into the digital public infrastructure, the ledger technology, the satellites, the full track and trace surveillance models that are already ready to flip the switch if they could get us all on board. And that's the other thing I try to tell people is like, they want to make it that you have a phone or an app or, you know, as Harari says, under the skin, that you can't participate in society at all unless you get on board with their global interoperable digital programmed ID on this blockchain. And it's like, but we have to be on it for them to even make it work. So I keep saying to people, by any means necessary, decentralize, de-digitize. Get off of your phone, anything you don't need. Don't think. And right now in the Palm Beach airport, you have to get your eyes scanned. And I said to the lady, I'm not doing that. Well, I have to call a police officer. Well, then call them. You know, the end of the day, the data collection of all of us is being shared all over the world with these same people. And none of this is okay with me. And it shouldn't be with anyone else. I think the thing that we all should be equally, and I mean this worldwide with the same group of people, disturbed about is the infringement of our liberty in terms of our privacy. I don't think anyone in any of our nations right now has any privacy because of this these relationships that the World Economic Forum and UN that they've made with all of big tech, with the Five Eyes nations, with the EU, with the US, with the UK. I mean, they're running above our country. That's why I call them the parent company of planet Earth, and without our consent. And I just feel like if enough people actually understood this, that there would be righteous indignation to who gave these people the authority to track, trace, and surveil me and my children and my every move. But I do believe that that is the goal, and that they are significantly getting there because too many people think it's innocent. We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Well, you know, I'm let's say that I'm a little bit less concerned about this whole privacy thing, not because, you know, like I'm not in that camp, like, well, I have nothing to hide, so I'm not worried. I just don't believe that they are very effective with it.
Oh, yeah.
In the sense that, you know, if they have this mass surveillance thing, they're generating a whole lot of data that they cannot use. And, you know, they will always be able to get to big people, you know, somebody like, I don't know, Tucker Carlson or Joe right. Rogan or Alex Jones, you know, people who reach millions and then they can, you know, in some way get to them and, you know, either lawfare them into submission or make cut a deal with them or some kind of a son. But, you know, the problem now is that there's literally tens, hundreds of thousands of us using social media and speaking out. Good luck keeping track of all that, you know, and then, you know, like they can try to censor you here and there. But, you know, the new channels are emerging everywhere. And, you know, like sometimes you have the effect that somebody hears a piece of news and shares it. Maybe they have an audience of 10 people.
Right.
But it goes to those 10. And from those 10, it goes to the next 10. And, you know, obviously, they've already lost the battle for the control of the narrative, which is pretty much the it for them. You know, and you can see them because, you know, then they get together in Davos and they're one after another, they're throwing tantrums about disinformation and misinformation. And what are we going to do about this? And we don't know what to do about it. And then they tell you that this is greater danger to us than even Russia and then terrorism. Oh, my God. You know, can you believe that something is a greater danger than Russia? It's hard to believe, but that's what they tell us themselves. So I think that we have to take these cues as a great encouragement and just keep up and keep on doing what we're doing because it's working. Yeah. And then, you know, I don't think that in reality we're going to come to some kind of a final clash like in the Lord of the Rings where two big armies are going to meet and we're going to defeat them and then the good guys are going to set up the new kingdom. But I think that what happens in reality is that people simply opt out. And this is, you know, as you mentioned, they want to put the control under our skins. Because what happens when the political establishment tries to get too repressive and starts to coerce people into systems that are unacceptable, that people don't tolerate, people just opt out.
Right.
So they go and they begin to do their own thing. They begin to transact in black markets, which always happens. Always happens. You know, like you have it now going on in many countries. Even in the West, there are already certain transactions that are moving onto black markets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they think that they're going to control you by means of your smartphone, well, you know, there's a simple expedient of leaving your smart home at home. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you go to your friendly neighborhood store where you can get things that, you know, you can't get at the supermarket or, you know, at the government office of whatever kind. And so so long as they don't have it under our skin, we can always opt out. And then putting it under our skin, they're like, I think, 4 light years away from having all that technology. And, you know, they're fantasizing about having them.
Right.
But we're not nearly there. And it's not going to happen because they jumped the gun. You know, they didn't.
I agree.
They launched an agenda before it was ready for launch. And now it's sinking. It really is sinking.
Yeah, I agree. And I think some of the architects, they've all passed away. You brought a PNAC before document. And don't forget, off of PNAC came the same guys and the same profiteers, quite honestly, came the Patriot Act. And for the first time, I'm seeing a huge, huge amount of Americans questioning why that was passed, how that was passed, what that was really about. You know, Ron Paul at the time was saying, what do you mean? We're going to war with a tactic? Can you define the enemy? What's the war on terror? You know, and he even said, I saw recently he was talking and he said that the Patriot Act was the most unconstitutional thing he had ever seen. And he would say to people, how are you doing this? And they would say, well, 9/11 just happened. It says it's the Patriot Act. If I don't sign it, it's going to look like I'm not a Patriot. And now, after we've watched, especially having gone through and really dug into the 17 Sustainable Development Goals upside down language, I see how the language is so manipulative that I can see that in the past, and even this week, because what did we just see? We just saw them pass this giant bill. I believe the majority of the American citizens had just paid their taxes, me to the tune of, you know, a lot more than I ever would have agreed to under any sane, when if I had the choice, you know, and many Americans did. So on the same week that we all paid our taxes, they sent another $100 billion to continue wars all over the world. And then they all waved the flags of Ukraine on the floor. Then we had a Zelensky call and thank everyone. We have all these senators and congresspeople, you know, fake making calls to Ukrainians on the front lines that they're friends with, all this BS. But I want to bring you back to something we talked about a long time ago. In 2020, Zelensky was at Davos and he made a whole speech to everyone at Davos talking about the Ukraine being open for business. This is 2 years before you know, the invasion. And he was talking a lot about Agenda 2030 and a lot of the goals of that and how Ukraine was the perfect place to invest. We already know a lot of things came out this week in an article Paul Sperry put out in Real Clear Investigations about the whistleblower of the fake Ukraine impeachment and everything that was going on there with business from a lot of people from our government, including the Bidens, but many other people from the U.S. government, including contractors and CIA. That article came out recently. So we are at a place where it appears that well before anything happened in Ukraine and they did the NATO red line and all of that, Ukraine was already on board for the global governance agenda 2030. And already, I believe that Sam Bankman-Fried was there with FTX and all of that. And then I saw recently, not that long ago, but when they had their big halfway at agenda 2030 event, they put out a whole thing about a reconstruction, like kind of like the Marshall Plan, which we know went to building the EU, and reconstruction for Ukraine costing about $700 billion. And that BlackRock and JP Morgan and CCP would be running that fund with the Clinton Global Initiative. And people are voting for this in front of the American people. And you're thinking, how are they not seeing that this is not at all what it seems? And I don't think there should be one more dead person in Russia or Ukraine for the people that really are going to benefit from any of this at all.
Yeah, and I think that all of these developments only make it more and more obvious to the American people and to the everybody in the West, you know. And so I think generally it's all kind of good, you know, in the sense of unintended consequences and opposite outcome. But yeah, it's true that, you know, Ukraine has been in the clutches of the globalists, not just since 2014. It's been in the clutches of the globalists for a lot longer. In 2014, they only forcibly consolidated power and then attempted to eliminate all opposition. The CIA has been in Ukraine since the 1990s. The NATO has been there since 1997, and you know, they started a cooperation. And so all of these globalist agendas were introduced there. There were hundreds of NGOs that were active there. And so obviously after the coup in 2014, the path was clear to use Ukraine as a laboratory for all of these cockamamie projects and agendas. And so that's what they did. And they even went quite far into creating the digital ID for the Ukrainian people. And then, you know, when they tried to ramp up the conscriptions in the recent months, then they wanted to use this digital ID architecture to to deprive individuals of their state benefits if they refuse to join the military, if they've refused to be recruited. But it didn't quite work. It didn't quite work the way they wanted. So, you know, even in Ukraine, where it was all kind of advancing nicely with the, let's say, a lot of willing Ukrainians, because, you know, Ukrainian economy was in the dumps since 1991, pretty much. And so all sources of foreign exchange were welcome, and people, you know, were ready to jump through hoops to get foreign funding. It still didn't work, and it's still falling apart as we speak. So, you know, I think that as we started this conversation, you know, the hegemony of this system of governance after 500 years or possibly longer is coming to a head. And now they're throwing the kitchen sink at it, you know, everything. And it is failing, but, you know, in the process, they cannot give up. You know, this is it. You know, for them, this is it. It's not like, okay, let's go with plan B. No, there is no plan B. This is it for them.
Right.
So they have to try everything. They have to keep pushing. And as you said, they're saying the plans are not developing fast enough.
Right.
Plans are not developing, period. You know,
yeah.
And so they're panicked. They're pushing harder and harder. I think that in the process, they're making more mistakes and more errors, and they're giving away the hand. You know, they're showing their hand, and so this dying agony of this system is probably going to go on for a little while, and we're going to see ugly stuff. But we have to, you know, see it for what it is. It's failure. And on the ruins of this system, we build something else. So we have to, you know, we have to kind of focus on what we want.
Right.
Not on what they're trying to accomplish. Because, you know, I have to say this, you know, like very often when I have these discussions with people, people often use the very affirmative language. Oh, it's going to be this, and they're going to do this to us. And they're going to bring CBDCs, and they're going to force us to have chips under our skin. I would eliminate all such language. It's, you know, like you can say like, this is what they want to do, but no way in hell are we going to let them.
Right.
Because if we did, then we would doom our children to that future, to that dystopian Hunger Games future. So we're not going to let that happen, and they're never going to have it. And so, you know, instead of affirming their agenda,
right,
we should start affirming our agenda. And we should start saying, oh, the future is going to be so much better. And we're going to be a lot more free than we are. And we're going to be a lot more prosperous than we are. And life is going to be a lot more enjoyable than it is right now. And our kids are going to have a blast, and it's going to be safe and clean and wonderful. And so that's the, you know, that's the future we need to start affirming. And then focus, instead of what they're trying to do to us, we need to focus our minds, our creativity, our energy on the outcomes that we ourselves desire, and our imagination as well.
Well, this is why every time I talk to you, I feel the exact same way. And bigger than that, every time I talk to you, I see a better vision of the future. And I do believe that it has to go down in flames to be destroyed forever, because a lot of people were led to believe that apparently in World War II, it was destroyed. No, they just rebranded, as far as I'm concerned. We didn't do that. We didn't end it. We didn't stop it. It kept going. And now we have the opportunity on a grand scale, because their plandemic overplayed the hand and too many people woke up, and because they can't control the information and the narrative like they used to and all of that. But even more, you know, it's funny, people keep calling people that don't want to support endless wars and funding foreign wars, isolationists. And I, every time they say this, I think it's such a joke. And I keep saying to people, like kind of what you're saying, which is, no. If we actually were putting power back in the hands of humanity and the people in every nation, and every nation had the mentality of making their own nation, as Trump would say, great again, and we got rid of these international banking cartels, and we pulled out the roots of all this stuff they put in there that's holding us down and holding us back, and all of that. And the international banking cartel, all the way to the Bank of International Settlements, was put transparent, and the opaque went away, and we got to see the big picture. I keep saying there is no reason that every piece of land on this planet shouldn't be thriving, shouldn't have electricity and energy and clean water and vegetation. All of the things that they promise are absolutely possible. You can't tell me you're sending $200 billion to Ukraine and all of Africa can't have electricity and clean water and gas and everything that they need and infrastructure. Same with South America, with the Middle East. This is why I say the UN's biggest fraud is the developing nations. They keep them developing so that they never develop, so that they continue to have the money come in. So the good part about what we're saying is, if we could pull out the roots worldwide, because this group, the parent company, I call them, that run the world, they don't have any allegiance to any nation, to any people, to any flag, to any religion, to any color, to any anything. And they are power for power's sake, like in 1984. But I really think that the people of all of the nations, if they really understood the power that they have within their own country, and that this external force, like you said, has convinced us through programming, through this affirmative speak, through their big events that they throw, where they're telling us what they're doing. And if we just say, no, we're not doing that, and that ripple effect keeps going, I do think that all nations, I think if all nations actually took the tact of putting their people first, they had legitimate governments, legitimate banking systems, they took care of their own country first, that then we would have a real chance of a future where there is actual peace. Because I just saw last week, I guess the U.S. government put in a bid to do, or no, I think did a contract with, I think, Raytheon to do a missile defense shield over the United States. And all I thought, and that'll take 10 years away, I thought, oh, so we're going to be going down this path forever? No. I want to find the way to peace on Earth. And they're planning for destruction for another 15 years, which is all that could mean. So I agree with you. I think that it's up to the people to start to look at it differently. And you've been talking about decentralization and all the things you can do in your real daily life to go towards that direction. But like you said, we can all opt out. If we all opted out together, they're done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They will have to make nice with us. And I don't mean they, you know, the top of the command and control hierarchy, because they're too far gone. You know, they need to be investigated and prosecuted and held accountable for everything they have done. But, you know, our representatives, you know, because our representatives now obviously kowtow to a different power structure out there, and they have to understand that they owe us allegiance, the people. Right. And they will have to come around to that, or it's going to be a different set. And then, you know, like it's a daunting task, but, you know, humanity has done a lot of daunting things. very admirably. Yeah. You know, we put aircraft into the sky and built internal combustion engines and absolutely insane things like the internet and the social media and all of this. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to overhaul the operating system of the society so that the you know, the system of incentives favors what ordinary people want rather than what the occult degenerate oligarchy on top of us want. And so, you know, that task is ahead of us, but there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to master it. We do need to recognize the conundrum that we're in. We do need to make the fact that we've been deceived for many, many generations, that many of the cherished beliefs that we grew up with were delusions and that they were false. And well, we need to just get over that, you know, because, you know, if we remain attached to these notions that we have to be, you know, if you invest $1 trillion a year into the military industrial complex, that's patriotic
and it's going towards peace
and that it's and it's for peace. No, it isn't, you know. Right. And you know, we have to let go of these notions that you know, this democracy is awesome and everybody who doesn't believe in it is an enemy and we need to go destroy them. We need to, you know, a good way to destroy an enemy is to turn them into friends and partners. And, the way forward is working, producing, trading, exchanging, traveling, learning from other cultures and so on. And there's no reason why we couldn't do that.
None.
And I think that people will discover that people everywhere are actually nice. And there's no need to hate one another, you know.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I saw the missile defense shield last week for 15 billion or 50 billion, whatever. I thought, oh, so we got another 15 years of war ahead, when I know that all war benefits the 0.0001% parent company of planet Earth. I think we've had enough. Nobody in 2024 on planet Earth should be dying in any kind of war about any kind of land. There's plenty of land. Everyone should just go back to their country and make their country awesome the best they can. Get out the weeds and the growth and the ugliness that has been foisted upon you by the banking cartel and the endless loans and the BS. I mean, I see a great future after it falls apart. The last thing I do want to ask you about, though, is because you do come from a finance background, these lunatics that are running the O'Biden White House, they are about to, I believe, seize Russian assets to the tune of, meanwhile, we're going later today to Rob's parents. There's a ton of Russians and Ukrainians that live down there in Miami that are probably pretty upset about this concept because they have one foot in both countries. But I guess they want to seize $300 billion of Russian money and then give it to Ukraine. And they're talking about that the day after they pass to send all this money to Ukraine. Mind you, Eric Schmidt said most of the money is going to stay here and go into the Pentagon and that. But what are the consequences of this kind of move of Yellen and Blinken and all these people of seizing $300 billion of private Russian money? I would think that's very, very bad for the American people and our dollar and our future. What's your take? Hi, guys. Thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always telling you to be prepared and expect the unexpected. Well, the Wellness Company has great medical emergency kits to make sure you can do just that. In a world where supply chain vulnerabilities threaten our access to life-saving medication, I highly recommend you get a Wellness Company medical emergency kit. With 8 essential medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin, you can be prepared for any medical emergency that comes your way. They have a medical emergency kit, a contagion kit, a emergency travel kit, and a first aid emergency kit. To support your own health and support the Mel Kay Show, please go to twc.health/MelKay now and use code MelKay for big savings at checkout. Don't wait until it's too late. Take back control of your health today with the Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit. Because when it comes to your family's well-being, preparedness is key. The Wellness Company, empowering you to face the unexpected with confidence.
Well, I think it's extremely bad for the ruling banking establishment, because It will, well, it already has done that, but it will put the last nail in the coffin of the system's credibility, you know, because every nation around the world will understand that the money they have on their balances with the Federal Reserve Bank can be seized for under whatever pretext. You know, it's just a question of finding a pretext, and you'll always find some lawyer that is going to tell you what you want to hear. But, you know, that's only part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that Western interests, Western corporations have a lot of, how do you call it, a lot of assets in Russia. And I don't know if it's 300 billion or is it more or is it less, whichever it is. But, you know, just earlier this month, Vladimir Putin signed the Directive 248. By which it transferred the ownership of land held by one, ultimately it's owned by a New York based private equity corporation, which was 15th largest landowner in Russia, right? Oh, wow. So it was like a New York based private equity corporation, but they owned something like 265,000 acres of land in Russia, valued at about 23 billion rubles. Well, you know, Vladimir Putin just signed a decree on the 8th of April. I think it was published on the 9th, and effective immediately, that land was transferred into like a Russian state agency for management of public assets, something like that. I forget what it's called exactly. And so that's what happened, you know, and this is just one guy who founded this private equity company who, you know, owns this land in Russia. But, you know, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of financial interests and Western corporations who have interests in Russia. You know, so if they want to play that game, you know, the Russians do have a way to retaliate. And so, you know, if they want to escalate it, then, you know, They will escalate it. You know, 300 billion in the bank accounts with ECB or New York Fed or wherever is just the money the Russians are not using. So imagine your pension fund or your children's college. You know, like if you lose it, if somebody takes it away from you, it's kind of an affront. It kind of hurts, but it doesn't do anything.
Right.
You know, you have.
Right. Because it's not being used. So it's not going to be a blow to them. It's just going to be a blow to our credibility going forward financially.
Exactly. So, you know, the consequences, you're going to, again, have a lot of unintended consequences and opposite outcomes. And, you know, once you do that, you know, it creates kind of like a case that in some future, the Russians can always come back and say, like, well, what about those $300 billion? You know, they were worth at that time so much gold and so much silver and so much oil, and we want that back. So any kind of discussion, and, you know, like the Russians are slowly developing this BRICS thing, you know, and so maybe this BRICS thing is going to be the next foundation of international law. So if you want to trade with the BRICS, well, we have to take care of all the issues before you can become a member. So what about those $300 billion? Well, you're going to have to pay up somehow, you know, and I really hope that when it comes to that, that they're going to come up with the money by confiscating it from people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and all of these idiots who are defining, you know, who are saddling us up with all this debt in our name without our consent.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to that, I think it should be them paying the bill.
I do too. And again, what you said before is so important. They're doing all this as if it's in the name of the people. The people don't want any of this. And certainly I don't, I just really do feel the same way that you do. I feel like they've so overplayed their hand and there's just too many people that see them. These are not Kissinger and Brzezinski types. These are that when they dumb down our kids, they dumb down their own. And that's who's running the show.
These are more Kamala Harris types. Yeah.
Exactly. Alex, tell everyone where to find you, where to follow you. You're doing a tremendous amount of work, very prolifically following what's going on geopolitically from a great perspective. And I love that you watch trends, because I can see it in your writing that you're always following a narrative that you can watch in real time. I love it. So tell my audience how to follow you and where to find you, please.
So I'm easy to find on X. My handle is @NakedHedgie. And I also write a Substack, which is called Alex Craner's Trend Compass. So, you know, from there's other platforms, but yeah, these are two main ones.
Well, thank you so much. I will be getting in touch with you soon. Can't go too long without hearing Alex Craner's positive take on the future. Thank you so much, my friend. I really appreciate
thank
everything
you.
You do.
Thank you, Mel. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
From our farms to your family, all organic protein, fruits, vegetables, gut health, immune support, and so much more. We have products for weight loss and collagen and muscle building, products for children, athletic performance, and 30-day programs for just $12 a day. You can save $50 on your first purchase of $75 or more with the code MelKWellness. Go to the MelKShow.com partners page and check out Mel K Superfoods today. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel K Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m., and it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week, share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkshowlive.com. The members at melkshowlive.com is a community for you. That continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other, organizing, all of that. You can also just join locals and join us on Sunday nights, where you can ask questions, interact with me. I'm going to have on some of my best guests. It's an incredible platform. It's just getting started. It's totally secure. And please join us Sundays at 7 p.m. locals or members.themelkshowlive.com. I will see you there. This is so much fun, and I'm so grateful. And now we have a totally secure community where we can all interact while we are fighting this battle for freedom and our future. See you there.